Now, the House of Representatives voted yesterday to impeach President Trump for incitement of insurrection, following last Wednesday's attack on the Capitol building by pro-Trump extremists, which resulted in 5 deaths and the evacuation of Congress. 10 Republicans in the House joined Democrats to vote for impeachment. Wisconsin's 8 representatives split along party lines. The decision of whether to convict now goes to the Senate, which will hold its trial, it looks like, after President-elect Biden takes office. More Republican senators are likely to vote in favor of conviction than we saw during the president's first impeachment trial last year. Still unclear whether there'd be enough to reach a 2/3 majority. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the Senate convict President Trump now after he was impeached by the House? Do you think it's likely that Republican senators, enough of them, would go along with that? And what do you want to see from the incoming Biden administration next week? What do you want to see right out of the gate? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Paul Nolet is an associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, Paul, I was looking back at our show calendars. You were on November 9th, the weekend after the election was projected, called for Joe Biden. Did you have any idea then that there'd still be, as recently as last week, this effort by the president to change the result of that election?
No, is the short answer there, and really the long answer too, I think. It really has been an unprecedented few weeks since the election. And certainly the last couple of weeks has just been a whirlwind and a really important time, I think, in American history as well.
And as recently as the weekend before last, before it got overshadowed by last week, Wednesday, the president was still that weekend calling, for example, Georgia officials, trying to get them to find him the votes he needed to win. What do you see as the impact of this now 2-month-long campaign? It looks like it's wound down now to overturn the election results.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it's not a positive development for American democracy. I mean, I think when people don't have a sense that, you know, there's some common ground that we occupy, whether conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, and you know, polarization threatens to tear the entire system apart. I mean, that's a real issue. And I think this, you know, there's always some, I think, that question the results when they lose, and they're not happy, of course, when they lose. But in the past, you know, all through American history, when we think about presidential transitions, there have been peaceful transitions of power. And this is the first time that that's not going to happen. So it really is an important and unfortunate juncture in American history.
So here we are. We have the second impeachment vote in the House. They vote to impeach. How significant is that, whatever the Senate and whenever the Senate ends up doing something?
Well, I think it's definitely very significant. Anytime that you're talking about any sort of impeachment of a federal official, never mind the president, that is a big deal. And especially given that this is the second time that President Trump has been impeached, which itself is unprecedented, you know, this is a really serious matter. And so I think this trial that will be upcoming, whenever it does start, it'll likely be right around inauguration, will be just like the other impeachment a year ago, almost to the day from now, will be a historic moment. And so it's still unclear how many of the senators, particularly on the Republican side, will vote on conviction. But regardless of whether Trump is convicted or acquitted, I think this is certainly a big moment in American history.
As I mentioned earlier, 10 Republicans in the House did vote to impeach. That's a small number. 197 House Republicans voted against impeachment. I want to give a listen to Wisconsin Representative Tom Tiffany talking on the House floor yesterday.
Madam Speaker, Joe Biden has talked about unity and healing. Is that what this is today? Is accusing Republican lawmakers of sedition and calling for their expulsion the plan for healing? Is working with Silicon Valley to digitally disappear those with whom they disagree with the plan for reconciliation?
So we heard a lot of Republicans on that theme. Moving forward with impeachment just broadens divisions. Others, a few Republicans, a lot of Democrats saying you need accountability before you can move on to these issues. What do you make of that argument, Paul?
Yeah, and I mean, I think the big picture here is that whenever you're talking about an impeachment, going back to looking, you know, at the other presidential impeachments throughout history, they are partisan affairs. I mean, they do inflame some partisan passions, and you don't typically see much crossover, you know, Republicans crossing over to impeach a fellow Republican president or vice versa. You just don't see much of that happening. You know, on the other hand, I think, as many Democrats may point out in response to Representative Tiffany, would be that, you know, the majority of the House Republican caucus did vote even after the riots occurred in the breach of the Capitol to essentially throw out the electoral votes of, you know, of a couple states that Biden had won. So there's clearly partisan passions at play here that are continuing well into today.
Talking to political scientist Paul Nolet from Marquette University with the latest in the impeachment process and the transition to a new president. You could join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hi.
Hi. I'm not very popular in my neighborhood, but that's fine. I'm going to stick with Trump. I think he did what he had to do, and the thing that I like about him is he says things that he doesn't care about people's feelings. He'll say exactly how it is, and he's my guy. I think we kind of got scammed on the election, but I'm going to stick with him. I got my flags up yet, and that's just how it is. And with the storming of the White House, how can you blame him? He didn't tell him to go do that. I mean, it's ridiculous. I know you're going to have all these Trump haters call in, but that's just how I feel. He's a good guy. I like him. I love the guy.
Yeah, and Nick, can you said he says things that other people are afraid to say. What kind of things do you hear him saying that you're glad to hear a president saying?
Well, I like how he calls out the press. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he really doesn't take crap from anybody. I mean, he'll tell you exactly how it is. I mean, he wanted a $2,000 tax, like, or the money for the coronavirus. And, you know, obviously the politicians aren't really working for us like they say they are.
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. So the example there that Nick gave, that $2,000 check, the president stayed out of negotiations on that, came in after the negotiations were done. Paul, but a lot of people out there thinking what Nick is, that they like President Trump's bluntness.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the appeal for a significant part of the American electorate is Trump's bluntness, you know, the idea that he's an outsider, that he's taking on the politicians and the Washington swamp. And this is a message that Trump has made, you know, even before he was president, when he was a candidate for the presidency. And so that's continued. And looking at, you know, even after everything that's happened over the last week or so, Trump still remains quite popular amongst Republicans. His approval rating amongst his own party members has declined from, you know, even a week or two ago, but it still remains high. So he still has pretty high standing within his own party.
And then thanks again for that call. For the culpability for what happened when the Capitol was raided, our caller correct? The president didn't say break into the Capitol, chase around members of Congress, things like that. But some members of Congress, even on the Republican side, did see him as culpable in leading that mob there and inspiring to their actions. How you're not a law professor, you're a political scientist, but how do you weigh that argument?
Yeah, and like you mentioned, I mean, both Democratic and Republican elected officials did point out that they thought Trump's behavior was very much inappropriate. As far as the legal matter, it is important to separate out something like criminal incitement, you know, getting a actual criminal indictment for incitement to violence is a separate process and would be a separate process once President Trump leaves office than the impeachment process. So when the House impeached President Trump for incitement to insurrection, it doesn't require the same criminal law standards that an actual criminal prosecution would. And so that's where it brings in a lot of these questions about what is appropriate behavior for a president and for other elected officials, as opposed to, you know, some sort of direct constitutional or criminal law standard. So it is important to separate those two things out when we're talking about what incitement means.
We're talking to Paul Dolet right now, chair of the Political Science Department at Marquette University, looking at yesterday's impeachment of President Trump, a Senate trial ahead, and a government transition going on. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Call in with your reactions to the impeachment, what you want to see happen in the Senate, what you want to see happen in the early days of a Biden administration. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Paul Nolet, associate professor and chair of political science at Marquette University, looking at the latest in national politics, impeachment, upcoming trial, transition, and beyond. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions. Back to your calls now. Mo is with us in Oconto. Mo, hi.
Hi. I have a couple of thoughts here. One is, I think you have to follow the news and put thoughts together to form your own hypothesis. And it's like when they say, well, that's not going to heal the nation. Well, before the election, he said it may not be legitimate. Then he said, I lost, but I really won. We follow the senators and Congress people saying, well, it really was stolen and your vote doesn't count. We'll decide who does it. And then they'll come up with the thought that, well, this is not going to heal the nation. You have to really wonder, is the president really looking out for your best interest or his own? And I think most people, if they thought about it, they would know that it's not the country, it's not them, it's the president, his own interests.
Mo, thanks a lot for the call. Paul, your thoughts on what Mo had to say?
Yeah, and I mean, this goes back to that idea that that the process itself is partisan, and as Mo pointed out, you know, the lead up to this process and to last week has been very partisan. You had a number of Republicans, in fact, a majority of the House Republican caucus, who voted, as I mentioned earlier, to overturn the result in a couple of states, and a number of Republicans, including President Trump himself, saying that the election was rigged and putting out a number of false conspiracy theories about what happened on Election Day. And so with that entire context, it is really hard to have elected officials and even, you know, people in the, you know, regular voters in the electorate really cross the political aisle here. Things have been really politically heated for some time, and really things have gotten even more polarized in the last couple months.
Let's go to another caller now. Dave is with us in Verona. Dave, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in the way you started the show. Is you said that for the last couple of months, there's been a push to try to overturn the results of an election. And that is not accurate. What has happened the last couple of months is a push to look into voter fraud and irregularities. Now, if fraud and irregularity somehow impacts the election, that's a different matter. But until you start reporting these things accurately, people are just going to stay agitated.
Dave, thanks for the call. Paul, do you agree with that distinction that what we've seen from the president and Republicans is just calls to investigate fraud and irregularities as opposed to trying to overturn the outcome of the election?
Well, I mean, there have been a lot of lawsuits since Election Day that have been brought by Trump, other Republicans, and really unanimously, these courts, both Republican-appointed judges and Democratic-appointed judges, have said that there has been absolutely no evidence of fraud available. And the nice thing with courts is that they hear these cases and they get evidence and they look at the evidence and make their decisions based upon both the evidence and the law. And unanimously they've rejected these claims, even after the 60 or so suits that went against Trump and the Republicans who brought the cases. Republicans were still looking to, for instance, not count the votes, the electoral votes from Pennsylvania, potentially Wisconsin, other states as well on January 6th, which is really an unprecedented move, at least to that level. So, is this all about election fraud? It seems like it's going quite a bit beyond that.
Right. And some of the efforts involve trying to get state legislatures, including the lawsuit from Texas, trying to get state legislatures to make the decision to get rid of the votes, to set the electoral votes themselves, again, in absence of evidence of that kind of fraud. So some of the efforts seem like they were geared at overturning the outcome of elections in a number of states. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and especially that point that you just brought up about having trying to get state legislatures to essentially get rid of the Biden electors and put a alternate Trump supporting set of electors, and send them to Congress for counting on January 6th, I think is, it would be fair to say, is going against what the voters of the state actually did. So, some of the states may have been looking at a few things that the people bringing the cases might have thought were questionable and then rejected by courts. But some of the efforts, I think, went even beyond that to actually trying to get elected officials to contravene the will of the voters.
Talking to Paul Nolet, political scientist at Marquette University, taking your calls about the latest on impeachment and the presidential transition. Let's go now to Frankel in Grand Marsh. Frankel, hi.
Hi, Rob. I'm not calling as a Democrat perspective or a Republican perspective. I'm calling as a concerned citizen of this country. With President Trump going to be impeached twice, I can't help but feel, doggone it, that coming in the near future, our elected leadership is going to use this forever and from now on as a political weapon against their opponents. I don't think it's going to be pretty. God bless.
Frankel, thanks for calling in. Is there a risk of, I guess, trivializing the use of impeachment, Paul?
Well, I think there is a risk as we get more and more polarized that this will become a more common tool that's being used by political opponents against a president of the opposite party. In this case, the circumstances that were around this particular impeachment, at least with the charge of incitement to insurrection, is really quite unusual. Something that we really haven't seen in previous presidencies, even when we're looking back at other impeachments, say of President Bill Clinton. And so I'm not sure if this exact situation will come up again. I certainly hope not. Whether this gives incentive for Republicans, let's say, to bring impeachment charges even early on against Biden just as a political tool remains to be seen. But I think if all sides are serious about lowering the temperature and trying to get unity, then, I think they'll take these situations, these unusual situations like we saw last week, seriously, but then also hold back on any potential use of, use and abuse of mechanisms that the Constitution allows for just day-to-day politics. What we saw last week was not day-to-day politics, but I would hope that impeachment is not used for just mere political disagreements going forward.
Well, looking ahead now, Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin was on the morning show here on The Ideas this morning. Here's what she had to say about timing of a possible Senate trial.
We're scheduled to come back into session on January 19th. Very shortly thereafter, the leadership of the Senate is going to change. Then it'll be up to Senator Schumer to schedule the trial. And all of us right now are very hopeful that we'll be able to both consider the trial as well as move forward on confirming Joe Biden's cabinet nominees.
So, Paul, the Senate's going to be a busy place, confirmations and a trial. What do you think about the ability to do both of those at once?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how things move forward. And there's a lot of known unknowns, so to speak, I think, coming up. And one of those known unknowns is exactly what the process will look like. It's something that the Senate has to agree on. So both Democratic and Republican members will have to agree on the particular process used for this Senate trial. But also the big question that was just raised is whether Joe Biden's agenda can be addressed at the same time as the trial. And I will say that under the current standing rules of the Senate trial takes priority over everything else. So it would be the only game in town, and all of these other confirmations and COVID relief and all of this would have to wait. That is something that they can change. They can change the standing rules of the Senate, but it's going to take some negotiations and it's going to take some discussion about whether they want to do that and whether they can do that moving forward.
Briefly, in our last few moments, Paul, what are you watching for next in national politics?
Well, I think the Senate trial is going to dominate, a lot of attention in the coming weeks, but we still have a pandemic going on. There's been calls for spending billions, even trillions of dollars additionally on COVID relief. And so there's a lot going on. One immediate thing that I would just look for is how many Republicans will come out for in favor of Trump's conviction in the Senate, how many Republican senators. That will be a really interesting and important story.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us again.
All right. Thank you.
Paul Nolet is an associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. He talked to us today about the House vote to impeach President Trump yesterday, a Senate trial still to come. That'll likely be happening after President-elect Biden takes office next week.